today on Real Radio.
When he sends a lightning bolt through the air, did you know that it purifies the air for X amount of miles on either direction of the bolt in an instant? How much time? An instant. Who does that? God does that. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up, Pastor Jack continues his discussion on environmentalism with this hope that the God of the Bible knows exactly what he's doing. He didn't walk away from his creation. God engineered into our world self-cleansing and revitalization systems within nature itself. But there is a battle for your thoughts, your money, and your votes. That is fallacy. Pastor Jack, of course, wants us to watch out for false science. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Timothy 6:20, King James Version. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Wow. Paul is warning 2,000 years ago, and the word in the original Greek language is science. Watch out for false science. Paul told that to Timothy 2,000 years ago. So should we not be watching out for false science today? I believe it. The God of the Bible has engineered, listen to this, and those of you who are old enough, check it out. Do you remember the Exxon Valdez massive oil spill in Alaska? God has built into his creation a self-cleaning revitalization system within nature itself. Did you know that? Did you know that you can go to Prince William Sound, Alaska, Valdez, Alaska, which those of us who remember was devastated by the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and it would never recover, there would never be fishing there again, and the seabed would be destroyed forever, and they thought it would take maybe 100 or 200 years before life could ever be sustained there again. And I looked today just to make sure I knew what I was talking about, and you can book tourist and fishing trips at the exact location where that ship broke open. Everything's fine. Look it up later. Amazing. God has built into the earth a self-cleaning revitalization system. When a volcano erupts and spews deadly poisonous gas into the air, God has a way of scrubbing it. Did you know that? You know how he scrubs things? He sends rain. You know the fastest way for God to scrub something? In an instant. He can take the most dangerous poison that's in the atmosphere. Do you know what he does? It's amazing. It's so amazing. You know what he does? He causes a lightning bolt. When he sends a lightning bolt through the air, did you know that it purifies the air for X amount of miles on either direction of the bolt in an instant? How much time? An instant. Who does that? God does that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screen. We're going to give you quickly, as best we can, 9 slides for you guys to look at. Check this out. Pretty cool stuff. Notice this. As technology advances and economies become stronger, the life expectancy of people goes up. That's not what we're hearing in schools. We're hearing the opposite in schools. Next slide. Some of the most densely populated countries in the world are in Europe. Highest population per square mile, the Netherlands. Has anyone ever been to the Netherlands? Raise your hands. Okay, hold that thought. Belgium. Notice, Belgium is second, 880 people per square mile. Netherlands has 1,023 people per square mile. United Kingdom, I was just there recently, 693 people live per square mile. You know, anybody been to England, United Kingdom? Have you ever been to the north of England, anybody? Any open space there, anybody? I laugh because that's all you see is sheep and horses. You'd be happy to see a person. Listen to this. These figures are much higher than U.S. figures, which has a population density of, listen, United States of America versus these other nations. U.S. has 79.6 people per square mile, according to the United States Census Bureau, ladies and gentlemen. But we're running out of space. Overpopulation. There's no food to feed anybody. Don't we hear this? But that's not what the data shows. United States, 79.6 people per square mile. Japan, 873 people per square mile. See how data is spun? For example, if you and I get on the freeway tomorrow afternoon in LA at 5 o'clock, you're going to think 100 billion people live here. Overpopulation. You sit on this 101 or the 3 or the 210 or the 60 or the 10 or the 5 or the 405, and you sit there, there's too many people in the world. And 25 miles over the mountain, there's a guy in a 64 Chevy pickup with a toothpick going down the 14, wondering, where is everybody? Right? Isn't it funny? We see a localized situation and we blow it up to the world. It's going to... I'm just giving you data from the U.S. Census Bureau. Certainly, our more densely populated states have a number of large cities, but they also have vast amounts of land areas and forest parks and agricultural use. Mostly, people move into cities and such as much of the rural area a country is left untouched. For example, between 1945 and 1992, the U.S. population nearly doubled. From about 140 million to 256 million, it is now over 307 million people in America. But as the following chart indicates, a doubling of U.S. population since 1945 resulted in almost no change in the amount of land use for crops, forests, and grasslands. They're nearly unchanged. And the population of America doubled. From what? What are we looking at? We're looking at cropland, forest. We're looking at 9% of miscellaneous. It grew all the way up and all that time to 12% miscellaneous. Urban went from 1% in 1945 to a whopping 3% in 1992. Isn't that amazing? Listen, forests in 1945 were 32%. Forests in 1992 were 30%. Cropland in 1945, available cropland, was 24%. 1992, available cropland, 24%. How do you explain that? You're not getting that. You are not hearing this in your college class. In your college class, the sky is falling, Chicken Little's running around, going nuts, and the world's coming to an end, and you need to ride your bike everywhere you go, which is great exercise for you. But remember this, the more developed the culture, the greater the health, the longer the lifespan, the less the morbidity and mortality rate. Water usage. Already, you've seen on the news, they are screaming on our TVs, it hasn't rained, we're in great peril, and there's no snowpack up in the Sierra, right? We're hearing it right now. And by the way, your water bill is going to go up soon because of it. You want to know why? I'm going to give you what the politicians won't tell you, and I know there's politicians that attend this church. They love God. They're good people. Listen. You know why there's water issues in California? Because water management is atrocious by intent. For example, did you know last winter in this state, it was one of the greatest snowfalls and rains that this state has seen? Did you know that the government of the state of California diverted billions of water from rivers and put it into the ocean? Because we had too much last winter. And springtime, we were overwhelmed with water. Why is it that you get 9 inches of rain in Israel and they don't have a water problem? Because the rain that falls in Israel, what they don't use, is stored underground in modern versions of cisterns. Why don't we do that? It's a money issue. And money is a power issue. And power is a control issue. It's management, ladies and gentlemen. How do you think that, for example, again, in Israel, at Masada, it rains less than a half an inch a year? How did the Jews live on the top of Masada. Have you been to Masada? The cisterns under Masada, they dug out and they made it so that when it did rain a half an inch a year, all the runoff went right down into the cisterns and filled it up in an area that contains or is able to hold six tour buses. They held water in it, and they even had crops growing in an area that rained a half an inch a year. Still to this day, it rains a half inch a year. Next, you have it. Lomborg. Lomborg is an author who's written, he's written a book called The Skeptical Environmentalist. He wrote in his document that widely used college textbooks on the environment quotes erroneous statistics on water shortages that it claims were from the World Bank study. This is an environmentalist telling us this. You can read about it. The name of his book is The Skeptical Environmentalist. Look at the data that's on the screen. It's hard for you to see. That large, thick line, we'll just pick on that one right now. That's the average world water, people with access to drinking water and sanitation. To the far left, in 1970, 40% of the world's population had access to drinkable water and sanitation. Did you hear me, everybody? 40% of the world's population, 1970, had, on a world average, drinking water and sanitation. In 2008, nearly 90% of the world population has drinkable water and sanitation. How does that happen? By technology. You don't want to hear that. I mean, I know you do. I'm being sarcastic right now. I know you want to hear it. You understand it. But technology does this. God gave you an amazing brain to use, and he'll give you answers, and he'll give you ideas to fix problems. Did you know problems are not bad. Problems, because God gave us an amazing brain, problems have to be solved. And when they're solved, your life gets better. That's a fact. Our kids today are being taught to just sit there and not think like that. Just swallow what's coming down the tube. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I guess, oh my goodness. Someone will say, but we are using up the world's supply of water too quickly. According to this documentation, not at all. There's a massive amount of water on Earth. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. And many nations, including Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Libya, are supplying their citizens with water from desalinization plants. They're taking water from the ocean, taking the salt out of the water and watering their crops, their animals, and their people. This is fun. Did any of you have water today? Did you? See this? This is a brand new bottle. Listen. Hear that? I just opened it. I just drank something here called water. My question is, how many times has this water been drank? Drunken. How much is this water? How many times? Where was this water before it made it in this bottle? Do you know how old this water is? Since the day God made it. Did you know there's no new water? Did you know the water that you took a shower in this morning or the water you drank today, did you know that you're drinking water that is, I can't tell you how old. I don't know. Oh, look, fresh water. It is fresh. But boy, is it old. It's been around since the day of creation. God has not made any more new water. He does not make new water. He recycles his water. Did you know that? Did you know that there are rivers that are bigger under the earth than there are on top of the earth? Did you know that that Lake Tahoe, California, can supply the water needs of the United States of America for 365 days if needed? And God sends a storm across America, dropping rain in a few days. It's amazing, isn't it? He's awesome. But water usage, 69% of the world's water, available water is used for agriculture, 29% for industry, 8% household. Pretty amazing. Can you guys advance to the next slide? And we're going to have to end with this one. I can't believe it, though. No, we can't end. We got a little bit longer. Quick, next slide. Yes, look at this. Oh, but the CO2. Oh, CO2. And air pollution. It's being, well, you know what? The author, listen, picked on England because England's data turned out to be the mean average for the rest of the world. So that's why you see right here that this is the average concentrations of sulfur dioxide and smoke in London from 1585. That's why they picked on London also, because it has the oldest records. From 1585 to 1995. That's a long time. The higher the graph, SO2 is at the top, smoke is at the bottom. And it did nothing but rise until the year 1900. And then there was the Industrial Revolution. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think the Industrial Revolution would have caused the danger to rise? The Industrial Revolution, look where it's at now. It's almost down, it's just above zero in the year 2000. This is amazing. The air has gotten cleaner. No, that sounds like heresy. That's got to be heresy. No, our God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. We're being lied to. 1600 to the far left. 2012 to the right. Look at life expectancy. 35 years of age. You would die. 1600, 35. Just before 1700, it dropped down to 30. Life expectancy, 30. Again, this is the mean average, the data that represents most of the world at that time, that they can gather information. Gets better as time goes on. It stays flat from about 1725 out to about 1830 to 40 years of age, which is radical because, for example, you think of John Adams, or you know, your patriot father, John Adams, that guy lived to be 90. That was insane. And then look, around 1850s, life expectancy starts to go up. Before the 1900s, it's going up. Looks like about 1940. 1930, 1940. It takes a sharp turn up. Goes to 60 years, average age, 60 years of age. Continues up to 70. And is currently now about 79 years of age. How do you explain that? If the environment's getting worse, how do you explain that chart, just that chart right there? Medicine. That's right. The technology showed us that we can extract from the earth, from plants, from soils, medicines to prolong life. Engineering, plastics, chemicals, chemotherapy, things that are engineered to prolong life. It's remarkable. So when you go back to school tomorrow, ask your teacher, hey, in 1850, in 1800, what's the life expectancy of people? And then they'll say it, and then ask them, what is it now? Then they'll have to answer. And you say, well, at the current, if you take that data and our practices that brought us to this number of 79 years, if you keep that going, could we increase life expectancy? According to the numbers, the answer is yes. It's very remarkable. You know, again, we'll end with this. It all comes down to this. The God of the Bible knows exactly what he's doing. And I can't think of a greater example of that than looking at the world right now and watching the nation Israel. Out of nowhere, Israel is back. Why? Who said? God said he would do that. And God said that the nations of the world would be gathered against Israel in the last days before he returns. He used the word, before he returns. He said, returns? When was he the first time? See me later. I'll tell you when. He's coming back. And he said in Zechariah 12 to 14 that Jerusalem would become the focal point of the world. Jerusalem doesn't even have an airport. I've been there too many times. It doesn't even have a river. There's no gold there. Why would it be so unimportant? What's the deal? God says, keep your eye on it. The same God that is engineering the regathering of the nation of Israel is the same God who said in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. God didn't walk away from his creation. There's a battle for your thoughts and for your money and for your votes and for your actions. And I want you to think biblically. I don't want for you to have someone tell you how to think. I want you to think critically about what you hear, test it and see. Now granted, in this age, you may be run out of class, but wouldn't you rather know the truth? And the Bible says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. The same God that can cleanse the earth cleanses us of our sins by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says. And he died on the cross for not for the environment, but for your eternal access to his presence forever. It's called heaven. Our God is our all in all. If you don't know him tonight, you can take a deep breath tonight and say, I want to know him. If my God governs the oceans, and if he takes care of the wind and of the clouds, then he must be the same God who said, and I'll also remove your sin from you. As far as the east is from the west, I'll remove your sins from you, he said. You know, listen, next time you pick up some water or breathe some air, you've got to, in that breath or in that drink, thank him. Thank him, praise him, love him, worship him. Why would you settle to hug a tree or to focus on a crystal and to get your exact harmonic convergent location where the universe and by a moment, come on, really, go beyond, go look past the trees and see him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, tonight, right where people are sitting tonight, their entire worldview can change right here, right now. By trusting your great ability to engineer. You have engineered salvation. I thank you, Lord, that we pick up the Bible and it is firm, consistent, safe, accurate, eternal. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, that if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl tonight that's saying, I want Jesus in my life, this God of good news, I want what Jesus did at the cross, crucified on that wicked piece of wood, ordained by the Hebrew prophets in Scripture, believed on in the world, I come tonight and I say, be my Messiah, my Savior. I accept you. I receive you. I open up my heart to you. I ask you to wash away my sins, Lord, and reveal your heart to me, God. Change my life. Change my world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in part two of a message called What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that takes a look at worldview issues through the biblical lens. Now, if you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, before I let you go, I want to remind you that you can get a hold of the MP3s and the video for the Engage California Conference. It happened here at Chino Hills just recently, and boy, the list of speakers is just amazing. Dennis Prager was on the list, Frank Gaffney, Shannon Grove, the Honorable Bob McEwen, John Stonestreet, Donald Dix, Karen England, and, of course, our very own Pastor Jack. If you'd like to get a hold of the USB with the MP3 and MP4s, it's available for you for a gift of any amount. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.